We welcome you this evening, and we hope you have a good luncheon and a good afternoon services. And I saw people taking Bibles for their distribution this morning after the morning service. So I thank Chris for his good propaganda. All right. and it was good. And the Bible, by the way, that we have over there are better than the one that we have before on the pew. So that's wonderful. We welcome you who are in the internet tonight, and we're going to start a new series about the ministry of edification. What kind of ministry does the church have, and what are we supposed to do as members of the church? So we're going to have four Sundays on that particular issue and different scriptures tonight on the marvelous chapter 15 of the book of Romans. All right, and we're going to start, as always we do, with number 255. And on hymn books. Come to you, the Father of light and the Father of love. And at the end of the day, we come with great joy in our heart to say, thank you, Father, for the great salvation you provide in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the scripture, because from every part of the scripture, we can see Jesus, the Savior, whether we are Jew or Gentile. Lord, and this is unique, because religion usually is among races, but when you provide salvation, you provide salvation for the human race. And we thank you, Father, for that. And now, Father, as we going to study tonight, to start the development on what to do with that salvation in our hearts and life, and how to work in the church within that spirit of salvation, we pray that you enhance our life and that we learn what to do even more of what we know. Thank you, Lord, for the weeks they have been under the direction of Greg Thomason, and we are thankful that we have this preparation in our church, one to follow, one to carry on the ministry when another pastor passed. And so, Father, this is good, and it's what Moses did with Joshua, preparing him to carry the ministry. Now, Lord, bless us as we praise your name. Bless us as we carry on again the word of God tonight. Thank you for the back of the house this morning, full, and we are thankful to see the growth in our church, thankful to see new people coming in, and we pray that they may find this church as their home. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, we will allow you to choose a song. All right, and whatever is Brother Blika has won. Okay,
73.
Number 73. All right, number 73. May Jesus Christ be praised. Yes, that's marvelous and wonderful, and great to be the first and second stanza of number 73. I learned from Candace, Pastor Tomlinson is on the way. He will never make it to church. He will be in home tonight. But he is driving with the whole family. Gregory is doing okay. Everybody is doing okay?
Yeah, they're traveling from where they're at
the school. Okay, beautiful. All right, then. He was telling me as I talked to Pastor Thomas, he said, I'm driving more miles. I said, well, that's all right. Buy another car. Okay. Okay, a lot of miles they drove this time. Number 73, may Jesus Christ be praised. Email from South America come from Martha's Church. Some young people who learn English and try to type in English after my three series. Remember on the Book of Job that I did here, I tried to put it in Spanish. It was very hard, but I finally made it. And I said, thank you for having the keys of heaven shown to us, said the email. Now I understand Jesus Christ is the key of heaven. He said, thank you very much for showing to us. Keep on with the keys opening the hearts of America. That was a very encouraging email this morning. He understood perfectly. He was able to type in English and now is listening to us in the afternoon because their church service already started. They start at 7:30 in the night and ends at 11. All right? Wow. in the night. They have a 5 o'clock Sunday school, 7:30 the service, 7:30 and until all the way until 11:30, and then they go for dinner until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. All right, I don't have any part on that anymore. All right, the only thing is that when you smell the meat being on the thing, is boy, that you cannot say no. All right, okay. All right, Brother Don Pedro. Oh, Brother Correa.
3:32
Yes. All right, nice to see Cheryl here back in the service. It was good to see this morning Mrs. Whitmire. She's praying to me going to do all bowing month with us as one of the daughters moved to Eureka. And Eureka is where they live, yeah. Way on the ocean, she said. They get fog like San Francisco and all of these. So I give you that weather to you. We still cold over here. Argentina was so humid. Even though they are going into the winter time, already in autumn, and it was cold, it was so humid we don't feel it. But here we feel it in the house, so we put it at 70, 72, and it's still cold, you know? Maybe I need an estate, that's what I need. All right, 332. Today more than yesterday, which I know is sure. Why? You know, I used to say to Raquel, I love you today more than yesterday and less than tomorrow. Okay? I guess somebody penned those words, but I buy flowers and I write that. It's not my writing, somebody did it. But it's good, no? I love you more today than yesterday and less than tomorrow. Now, that's what this song is all about, the verses Spencer. Now, why do you love today more Jesus than yesterday? Anybody? Brother Christopher?
To know is to love him, and I know him more tomorrow than I knew him yesterday.
Yes, sir. That's true. Once you get to know the love of God, it's good. I told these people in the rehab, if you get to know God, not as a policeman, but as a lover, you will listen. And they say, yes. And so I went through 1 John 4 and 1 Corinthians 13, and they were asking about Jesus. One of the things I really put a finger on the Roman Catholic Church is that they do not teach enough about Jesus.
Amen.
They are not against Jesus, but they should teach more about Jesus so that people get in love with him, you know. The churches are packed. I mean, really packed. 10, 12,000 people in the church for the ceremony. The same way they come in, the same way they go out. And the priests have the chance. Some of the priests are good and they teach him, but they are teaching at the high class level of an intellectual over passing the head over the head of the people. And I wish they will grasp the goodness of Jesus. Dancer number 2 and 332.
Oh,
my pardon on Calvary's tree, in my feeling, belief, if you're a believer, the more you think on that, the more you can't help it.
Yeah.
What he did on that tree, really with me.
Amen.
If you cannot love him more just thinking on that, then you don't love him enough.
In the rehabilitation centers, how many of you are Roman Catholics? Well, all raise their hand. I said, how many know that God did something for you? I said, no, why? I said, well, maybe they don't understand. I said, you know, in order to be a Catholic, a universal believer, so what that mean? Yeah, Catholic means universal, it's a Latin word. In order to be a universal believer, God has done something for you. And they said, no, the church. No, the church did nothing. God did it. The church only proclaimed it. All right, and God purchased you, and everybody was like, "What are you talking about?" You know. So, but the more we understand that God the Father purchased us in Christ Jesus without any contribution from my part, the more you get in love with Him. No enough words to say thank you, Lord, for that salvation. Who touches, as I say in the morning, Jews and Gentiles. How wonderful the Scripture describes in one way the salvation of the Jew. In the salvation of the Gentile. I'm more in love with God that's so precise that you can't believe. All right? Another song that touches heart. Barbara. And I get it right. Barbara. 37. Barbara, I know when you die, I have this song. Okay, 37.
Now we know the heart. Number 37.
Thank you.
that's your brother's
alright
son. Be thou my vision. It's so beautiful, so wonderful that Gregory Jr. is active in music and shows his talent, and his school is in what's the name of the school he goes? No, but the school is in the university. He's
going to go to West Mont.
Westmont University. I think he's going to pursue music also. English. Is a major and then music also. Mm-hmm. So that is wonderful. 334, Be Thou My Vision. Wonderful to sing songs from the hymn book, and church in Argentina has changed to an extreme with chorus, and you don't, to me, you can tell how old I am, I don't feel being in church when you have these chorus and the drums and the guitars and everything on, and look on the side and there is an archive library, and it is one hymn books that I said that was on our great grandparents, and I looked to them and said, hey, listen, I sing that. I'm not a great, great grandparents. don't insult me, you know. And they said, these are books from the past, you know. And I was planning to donate some books. I said, but I will not. They have the hymn books over there, and they don't sing these anymore. The young people, I guess, they've made the church, but the elderly would love to sing. And I told them they should mix it between chorus and him. 257, we close with this beautiful song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." They bought here in church for the pew. Usually today, usually I have another Bible in the pulpit, but usually just to see if I feel comfortable reading, and I was very comfortable this morning, and so I want to encourage to keep it there. I saw some people requesting and taking Bibles and from the pew, and Chris tell them The Bible says in the pew are in the pew. They're over $4. I write these ones, and the others are less. So the Bible the people should take is the one that Chris holds in the box, because these Bibles, we still have some extras here in case something get wrong, but these are very special Bibles. I think it costs $7, the one in the pew. And we have, plus whatever is written here is written inside for the pew. And the other Bibles are written with the thoughts of somebody who never read the Bible and how to guide that person. Also this morning we have an interesting visit. How many of you eat in the restaurant Rossi by the beach? I with the first architect that designed the first drawing of the church. I eat there with Katsangin. The parents of the owner were here this morning. And so they were sitting right there, elderly couple. And they are the parents of Rossi. The Rossi is their daughter-in-law. So I assume the wife of their son there. Rossi by the beach is right there in Monterey. So if they give us a good price, maybe we don't have to go to Jack in the Box. If they give us a $2 meal, we can go over there. All right. Well, let's pray together. Father, we come to thy word, to a new series of considerations and a study. And it's by taking a new road, and we have a map, as your word, and we're going to follow tonight and to see the ministry of edification that you so much encourage pastors to have, according to Ephesians chapter 4, where you say the pastors are there to edify or to build up the body of Christ till they get to the image of Christ. And Lord, this work of edification is explained in the Bible, and I'm going to do so in four different sections, and I pray the Holy Spirit will enable us to understand what you request from all of us as we look upon thy word. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. The first question I wrote in the paper is, what is the greatest motivational factor in people's life and people in general? And in the world in which we live today, one of the greatest motivational factor in people's lives is a desire to please themselves. The desire to please themselves. All right? That's a motivational factor. They don't realize it's a motivational factor, but it is a motivational factor. Now, the second question I have in order to understand the topic is, what is the greatest motivational factor in the believer's life? Should be different, don't we? All right. Now, when we come to the believer's lives, his or her motivations at least are different. That's my hope. Now, the only way we can solve the problem is asking the question what the Bible says about it. Now, this new motivation factor in the life of a Christian people is explained by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans in chapter 15. I call this chapter the ministry mentality. You know, when you go to church, as you investigate a new church for you to be a member, you have to ask this question. What is the mentality of the ministry in this church? And then you will know right away if this is a church that glorifies Christ, or the church has a program of themselves. What is the mentality, the ministry mentality of the church? And I think chapter 15 of the book of Romans explains all about it. This means that every one of us has inbuilt within ourselves some of these motivational factors. In the scripture, they don't call it motivational factor. You know what they call it? Gift from God. You have a gift. You have a gift. Our brother Louis has a gift to sing. Others have a gift to teach. Others have a gift to help people. Others have a gift to help the church, and so on. We miss our brother Russell, otherwise the backyard will not be in the way it is. I just got some people to fix it, the front yard, and yesterday when I came here, I saw the people here working and getting our yard done, and I called one of the Mexicans, and I said, amigo, I'll give you $20. I give $20. I said, will you do the front yard? Oh, yeah, we'll do the front yard. and two of the guys did the front yard, because it's nice to have everything neat. And I asked them for the price on the back, and I just get a word that Brother Gregory is planning to do it. I'm the one to talk to Gregory. That's not his job. And we get somebody else to do it. But you see, some people have the gift. Brother Gregory has a gift of helping you. Whether he has the time or no time, whether it's inconvenient, Maria and Gregory will help you. That's a gift. That's the motivation of their life to help you. And that's the gift that God gave them. Now, the key is to discover your motivational factor, or to discover your gift to perform it. Okay? So let us consider our ministry and the kingdom of God and get involved. So we go through chapter 15, a few verses together. All right? The first ministry that I found in this ministry mentality of the church, the first ministry is the ministry of building up the body of Christ. Building up the body of Christ. And as we go through Romans chapter 15, you will see that it's different than just teaching and get your head very big and no heart to it. It's an entire different thing. So let's go together. Number one, require emotional maturity. Look at verse 1. Romans 15 verse 1. We then, they are strong. You got a word? We then, they are strong. How to bear the infirmities of the lacking of the weak, and not to please ourselves. The infirmities also can be translated in the original language translation is the failures. The failures. Usually we judge somebody who fail. And the ministry of the church requires a spiritual and emotional maturity. We then, they are strong. You who are all together spiritually need to bear the failures of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, not to say, well, I'm okay, he's not okay. We need to even get disturbance in our heart and put our shoulder in somebody's life. All right, not only the pastor, which that's one of the qualities of the pastor is he has no an 8-hour job. He has a round-the-clock job, and we just arrived from the trip and came to church, did the evening service on Wednesday from the airport to here, and then go home trying to sleep. At 1 o'clock, the phone rang, and the Niels calls that my mother died, and then here is my day gone. From there until 7 p.m., helping them, until 4 p.m., excuse me, helping them to set up the funeral. That's typical of the pastor, because this is a pastor, that you have a heart for them. But not only the pastor needs to do that. According to verse 1, we who are mature, we who are strong, rather than criticizing somebody who is going through struggles and failures in their life, the Bible says we need to help them, pointing them, taking the shoulder, and pointing them in a very private matter, helping them. I put it in parentheses in my paper, yield right away. In other words, that something is a no-no in South America. Nobody yield right away when they drive. Rather, you pray when you're going to cross the street. Even if you have your light that indicates you want to cross, you have to be careful because a car turns to the left and you're dead. So you need to be ready to run, and run and jump and so on, and be careful because the street is up and down and so on. And so yield right away, okay? When somebody is in this toughest situation of life, when it's weak and fail, well, our job is, in order to build up that person, is to not to criticize, not to judge, but to put our shoulders and really work with them. Actually, if you go to Galatians 6, put one hand in Romans, and go to the next book, Galatians 6, and verse 1 and 2, they explain you there very clearly what to do with the weak people. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And look at what verse 2 said. I call the piggyback verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So in the church of God, in order to build the church, it's not so much the knowledge that we have, but the caring that we have. You see? Most of the churches who said, oh, we have great knowledge, they are only intellectual, and they have no caring ministry. Neither the pastor or the people. But a church who edifies the people, we care for one another. Even in difficult moments. Going back to Romans chapter 15, the ministry of edification requires spiritual and emotional maturity. Also, requires a mature attitude. Look at in verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Please his neighbor. Now, here I wrote three things over there under. I said, God is first. You see that? Others are second, and me are third. Now, that's Christianity. It's very important. God is first. Whatever God said is not for discussion. Then, others people are second, and me is third. That take away the thought of some Christians who are weak and said, well, you know, I worked the whole week, and I need a day for myself, or I need half day for myself. There is nothing for yourself, everything for God. All right? And it takes away that. And so it takes a real mature attitude to think, well, I in America, you work only until Friday. So in America, you work Monday through Saturday. All right? And so Sunday is very tough. And that's why the church is trying to have the meeting in the evening. But I told them, if you think carefully, Sunday is not for yourself. If you look at the book of Isaiah, Sunday is not for yourself. It's a day of worshiping God and giving God the entire attitude, and God will give you the strength to do so. And that's the way it requires a mature attitude in your life. Number three, the ministry of edification requires a mature commitment. Look at in verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. Now I'm talking about Christ. Christ is, what is the Hebrew word for Christ? Messiah. Now we are talking about big things. Messiah. The Messiah did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell of me. Now, a clear statement from Jesus is seen in John. Put one hand in Romans. Go to the left a little bit in John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8, and look with me at verse 29. And look at the statement made by Jesus. No wonder he walked to the cross without any doubt whatsoever. Jesus said this in John 8, and in verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do, no I say, or I know, but I do always, no sometimes, but always, those things that pleases him. And so, requires a mature commitment, the ministry of edification. We need to do always the things that pleases God. We fail on that, don't we? We fail. We sometimes, not intentionally, we fail by not taking care of the reading of God's Word. I was telling the people in South America who know very little of the Bible that the best remedy for their life is to sit in the morning and read for half hour. Read the Bible. You will be surprised how much you will know the Bible. You don't have to memorize the Bible, will be good, but if some people have a gift that they can read and memorize, fine. But just read it, and read it, and read it. And another year, just jot down some information where things are in the Bible. So when you need it, you look on it, oh, I'm depressed. Look for depression, look at here, Psalm 13, or Psalm 13. Let's see what Psalm 13 tells me about depression. But I said, read the Bible. Excuse me, start in the book of Proverbs, follow the book of Psalms, and if you want a real counsel for your life, read the book of James. And you're going to be strong and steady. But if you do not read the Bible, you will not have be faithful to God because you don't know what God said. All right? And that's very, very important. For even Christ pleased not himself. And that's the mature commitment of our life. I'm going to do what God said. Now be careful. When I have the opportunity to do the marriage ceremony on people, I request that they will look upon these texts. I will do what God said in my marriage life. And so let's see what God said for the husband. Let's see what God said for the wife. And that is settled. You're going to learn to do it. You will not do it from the beginning because there's a lot of things to break in our life. But as you go to the scripture, and you know, the scripture said, love your wife. That's easy. But that doesn't stop there, alright? What does the scripture say? Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So as a guy, are you ready to give yourself for it? But what do you mean? You see, I have no idea. A man is going to get into marriage. There's a no that he no longer has the right to anything. The wife has the right. What do you mean? I'm the man. And people, you know, in South America, they quote this scripture. I'm the head of the home. What that mean? I have nothing to do with this. The head of the home means you're responsible for every problem of the home. That's what that means. It's not that you command. You're responsible for every problem of the home, regardless who is guilty. You are responsible. But now, my friend, remember, who sinned? Adam or Eve? Eve. But God made who guilty? Adam. When you go to Timothy, see, for Adam sinned. My eyes were open like that. Watch out. God will not blame your wife. We blame you. So you see what it is? A commitment to the Word of God is important. And so that's building your life and building the church. All right? Number four, requires a mature discernment of God's Word. Look in verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Now let me tell you what this verse said. It's very important. Whatsoever things were written aforetime or before this time, they were written for our learning. You know, I taught the book of Job in South America three times. And I taught a lesson on fixing the wall with the rehabilitation center. One day I maybe teach it here in the morning. And I used the Old Testament. And people said, don't talk to me, but there are faces were saying, he used the Old Testament to teach us? Some people think that the Old Testament is gone. It is not gone. Look at what they said here. The things that were written before, they were, some Bible carry the word rather than learning for our instruction, which is also a good translation. Carry for our instruction that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. So we need to compare each passage with each corresponding one, and as you compare the Old Testament examples with the requirements of the New Testament, you have an example of what to do. If you plan to disobey God, I can read for you the book of Numbers and see what God did with Israel. Don't think that if God did that with Israel, he is not going to do that with you. Okay? I can read for you the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and tell you that people who disobey the Lord, God is able to raise them from the earth. They said, so many die because they believe not. And so it's serious. The Bible is serious. And so requires a mature discernment. The Word of God is complete. It's not just the New Testament. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, some people get confused and they start living in the Old Testament. No, sir. The Old Testament is a lesson of life for us. It's a pre-announcement, a pre-leaving of what God requires from us and examples from Israel of how Israel disobeyed the Lord. The Lord corrected them. Then they came back. The Lord was merciful to them. And so as you look to the Scripture in Israel for lessons, that's what you learn. And if you don't discern the Bible, then you say, well, there is no example. Yes, there is full of examples where we can learn our Christian walk. And so there is a requirement to discern the Word of God. And if you are in Bethel, you know I use a lot of the Old Testament. We are studying the book of Jeremiah in in our lesson, and I was commenting with Brother Prica and so on, it looks like you are living in these times when the Christian church forgot the Lord. And Israel did that, and so on. All right? Number five requires a mature relationship with people. One of the things that causes problems in the church is people. But the church is people. So we have to agree, okay? Let's read verse 5 and 6. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another according to Christ Jesus. What means like-minded? Come on. Can you tell me something? Yes.
Similar?
That we all think the same. Oh, we are all together fixed on Jesus. You know, I wrote at the end, unity without uniformity. Okay? I dress in a suit. Our brother Chris come here in a sloppy thing to speak in the morning. It's all right. My wife said, don't say anything, he's young. Okay. No, brother, I don't judge you. That's the way you are. Don't change it for me. You just feel comfortable in the way you are. Okay? Don't change it. I say this with great love. You know, to me, I cannot dress like this. Can you see me dressed like this speaking to you? You said, I cannot pass it there. Because I was born with a suit, I will die with a suit. But you know what I mean? But that's not what the Bible talks about in unity. See, some people go in that way. There are some churches, all women have to have a long hair, a long dress, so they look ugly. Come on. That's not the way that we are. But the people are. These are people's mind. Look at him, the text, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation is a grant you to be like-minded one to another according to what? Christ Jesus. In other words, you cannot come here and say, well, it's okay, you preach about Jesus, but I don't believe. Well, that's not like-minded. Now, with all respect, Camille Bond told me, got me right after the service. So I tell you, these Jesus, you want to shower Jesus into our head this month. Oh, not into our head, into our heart. I wish I can put it into the heart. I will shower this to your head. And if you don't come, I go and preach in your home. So you better come. I said, but why Jesus? This morning, why Jesus? Well, you saw it in the scripture. Who else? He's not the Savior of the Jews. She understood the sermon. All right? And that's my joy. I don't get upset. I say, oh, Camille, you owe me a dinner. You know, and it's not something God one day will speak to her heart. She's not rebellious. I'm not against him. But him be the Savior. Well, she understood. All right? And that's the obstacle to everybody. Jesus said, oh, I wonder the church. Give me a certificate with your signature. I'm saved. But not believing in Jesus. You see what it is? And so here it is. There is unity about Jesus. Look at verse 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth do what? Glorify God. We cannot glorify God if some people believe Jesus Christ is God, Jesus Christ is the Savior, and others don't. My daughter told me early in her marriage life, they were in the church, and finally said, Daddy, what do you think? The church now has this program. Free Christian. Everybody is okay in church. You're all Christians, and some people are free Christians. And Daniel Wellington said, it's better your husband tell you what to do, because I'm not your husband, neither have authority over you, Miriam. But your husband, I talked to Danny, he said, best is to go privately and talk to the pastor. Don't say anything to anybody. That would be no Christian. But go to the pastor and said, where do you learn in the Bible that we're all pre-Christians? And he went to the man. He said, well, I want to have a big, large congregation. And so Danny said, well, that's it. He said, Dad, I will move out of this church. And they draw away from the church to another place. They used to be in downtown Portland. They had to drive away to another church with a pastor that was preaching the Word of God. And no concern about how many is coming. You see, you cannot be like-minded. So like-minded is not your dress, it's not the car we drive, it's not the building we have. Like-minded is we all think about Christ in the same way. That's important. All right? Now, number 6, verse 13, require a mature trust. Look at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, in believing. Now, I have some people who said to me, who I understand their Reformed view, but they said to me, you cannot ask people to believe. Well, what do you want me to ask people? To go to hell? It's either you believe or you go to hell. I'm very clear on everything. But I have to ask people to believe. I have to present the responsibility that comes into our heart to believe. Now, I know from the Scripture, the only people can believe if God intervenes. When God, remember Lazarus' resurrection? The Lazarus came out, hey, hi, Jesus. No, what happened first? Jesus called him. Jesus said, Lazarus. And then the man here, he was dead 4 days. He here, he come out. And that's what happened today. We speak about Christ, the person waits, and the person moves out. And so that's my responsibility then, requires a mature trust. And trust produces joy and peace. And when a person trusts the Lord, then your life becomes together. You have no solution whatsoever to your problems, but it comes together. You know that God is going to work things out. But you have to believe. You cannot be here in church day in and out with a lot of offerings and so on and think it's going to go well. You need to come to believe. You need that confrontation between you and hell. And you say, God save me. And when that happens, you believe. And you move on. Alright? Requires mature trust. And finally, requires mature confidence in God's people. Verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. You know, this is what I believe of you. I believe you are capable of helping people. That's why I am not the central figure. I'm your pastor teacher. And pastor commitments are pastor assistants and so on. But you, as I build you in the faith, you are able to talk to people about the Lord. You don't have to say, let me see, let me call Pastor Carol. He's going to help you. You can help you. I believe these things. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brother, that you also are full of goodness. I believe that the people that come to our church and our believers in our church are able, full of goodness means full of Christ. That's what it means. And so you have Christ in you and you are able to counsel some people and to relate to some people and say, you know, this is what the Scripture says. When the ladies meet here for Bible study, they're counseling each other. Somebody asked me, this church has all kinds of alternatives. I'm glad I have 35 years under my pocket so that you can be a good pastor. Now, some pastors retire at this. That's sad. When you have 35 years of ministry, then it's the best of you because you have experience. And some people said, do you write the material for the ladies? You know what the ladies are doing? Yeah. You say, you write the material? No. He said, what they are doing? What they are doing is studying the Bible. He said, why are they studying the Bible in this way? I don't know what way. I trust the ladies. This verse says so. He's unpersuaded. My brethren said, that ye also are full of goodness. The ladies have Christ. They will not study a book about Satan. They're studying a book about Christ. Sometimes in Philippians, sometimes in others. My wife shared with me some of the lessons. But the ladies are studies. And I know if something goes wrong, they will ask me. See, if you don't build trust in each other, like in a marriage, if you don't have trust in each other, what kind of marriage is that? That must be a hell. And that's what it is. I trust that when we have a ministry, I give Brother Christopher the opportunity for 2 Sundays to speak to you. I trust that Christ is in him. He will be not Pastor Taylor speaking. He will be no Pastor Thompson speaking. He will be Christopher McCain speaking. And speaking from his heart, the thing that God has done. And I trust that. Jesus trusts Peter, trusts John. You remember what he said to John? You don't see John too active until the death of Christ. And he said to John, don't take care of my mother. Is not that a trust? Is not that a trust? Is that, mother, here is your son. Wow! That blows my mind. The trust that Jesus put He trusts the most valuable thing in his life, his mother, to this man John. No wonder when you read John, 1 John, you see clear a man of love and compassion and care. All right? And that's how I as a pastor, smell you and see what kind of gift are in you. When we, our choir director moved away, I knew that Darlene can do it. But I knew also that Darlene would be scared to death. And I knew that Brother Victor would have a great job to do in his home and praying and encouraging his wife. He is the husband. He's the one that Darlene should put all the shoulders on. And Darlene is doing an excellent job, fantastic job. Our last cantata was one of the best of the history of this church. And the reason is she had the gift. And that's what it is. And as a pastor, I have to concede. Now, I got a lot of calls from people who want to work for our church and direct the music and do this and the other. And we can accommodate some of them. But I don't need it because I have in my church somebody that can do it. Because I trust. It's clear, the verse. He said, I'm persuaded. And I'm persuaded that you have a gift. All right? When I called Brother Jack, you need to have the gift of managing the money. I was persuading that our brother is a holy man of God and is going to do a super administration and squeeze all of us and we have the benefit that we have today. All right? And he has the gift. Maybe he's not a speaker. I heard him two or three times and he's very good. But his gift is to do administration. Now we discover another man in the church, our brother Kong. And so, respectfully in the deacon board, I move away from this business of selecting what land and so on, and I ask Brother Kong to perform it. And remember the presentation? Brother Kong presented an astonishment, a movement, and not only about buying a building, about the projection of the church. And I really don't expect it so well done. Not only he did not deal so much on the physical, he did on the spiritual. The need of our church is the need to move. Whether Pastor Otero is alive or dead, we need to move. And that encouraged me 100%. 100%. He said, and we need to do this and the other and the other. So you'd be surprised how many gifts you have that you have not developed. All right? And my job is to trust that person. I think if those words were written so that those in charge pay attention to it. Filled with all knowledge. Able also to admonish one another. In other words, you are able. Don't think, no, I'm not able. You are able. If you have read the scripture and you have the word of God in your heart, you are able to counsel somebody and to share. So the ministry of edification is not a program. It's you, Christ, and the word. You read the word, you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, now you put in action your gift. Amen. That's the ministry of edification. Now, I cannot persuade people to believe like Brother McCain does in the streets. We go with the girls and so on to the coffee shop on Wednesday night, and we enjoy it to see McCain in action. He asked me, do you have a track? I said, no, I don't want anybody to be saved. And he laughed about it. He's really good, and it's a gift, and you cannot twist at his heart or his head because he's going to do that. He's a gift, and I trust him. And I trust him. And look at the businessman that he announced this morning. Some of them are unbelievers and have our Bibles to give. Only a person with a gift do that. And so your pastor trusts you. I trust you. Don't disappoint me. I trust you. I trust you that you are able to do the work of God according to your gift. That's the ministry of edification. It's not the ministry of one man. It's the ministry of one body. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord, that you show us that each one of us are important in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you show us that the church is not one pastor or the other pastor. It's all of us together in one mind in Christ Jesus, helping each other, extending the kingdom of God. Bless us during this week. Give us a strength for every day. Give us wisdom for every decision. And give us the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you.